choline is not only about liver fat export. It also feeds into a broader metabolic network. It can be converted to betaine, which donates methyl groups and helps regenerate methionine from homocysteine. So choline connects directly with methionine metabolism, folates, vitamins, in particular B12, and with a methylation capacity and antioxidant defense. So it's very, very important for the dairy cow.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Boost digestive health, performance, and profitability with Digesterone Prime, a feed additive that enhances digestion and immune function in dairy calves. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/prime. Excellent, a novel product for the management of hypocalcemia. It's uncomplicated excellence. Adiseo USA, producers of Smartamine M and MilkPay.com. Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together. Agrarian Solutions, research-backed microbial solutions for healthier, higher-performing livestock. AgriComfort, the cow comfort specialist, because her longevity is your legacy.
Hello, welcome back to the Dairy Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. My name is Barry Bradford from Michigan State University. Today, very happy to welcome to the show Dr. Richard Perrette. Richard is the Global Technical Innovation Manager for Ruminants with the company Vitagro. Richard, good to see you. Thanks for joining.
Thank you, Barry. Nice to see you again.
So we go back a little ways, but it'd be fun to kind of talk through, first of all, maybe where you live and how did you get into this work of doing sort of R&D, technical innovation for ruminants?
Yeah, I'm based in Italy, in northern part in Italy, in Milan, in the most productive area for dairy cows in Italy. I'm a dairy nutritionist. I have a PhD in animal nutrition. I have spent as visiting fellow 6 months at Cornell University. And then since then, I've always been in the dairy business, in particular after my PhD in the microencapsulation business. So it's more than... I started in 2004 working on microencapsulation, and I'm still here in this business. And I work also as a dairy nutritionist on the field. So that's my area.
Can I assume that you grew up like maybe on a farm or in a village, as or were you actually in Milan?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Both my parents were teachers, I'm really the black sheep here, or the white fly, depends from the point of view. But I always loved animals, and I started to get in contact with them in during my childhood in Switzerland. But then I entered animal science, and that was the love at first look, first sight.
I think in the U.S. at least, a lot of people from more urban backgrounds that get into this space maybe went to school planning to be a veterinarian and then found other opportunities. Is that how did you get into ruminant nutrition? Same thing.
Yeah, the same. Yeah. I actually started. I wanted to join the vet school. Because I was horse riding, and that was my first approach, and then I found animal science, and that was it.
Okay, tell us just a little bit about Vitagro, though. Maybe not everybody's familiar with the company.
Yeah, Vitagro is an Italian multinational company. Was born in 1982, and the real core business is microencapsulation. Vitagro was pioneer in inventing microencapsulation, starting from rumen-protected methionine. The idea came from four professors, two in vet school and two in agronomy back in 1982, as I said. And since then, they never stopped developing microencapsulation business. That is really the core business. We don't do anything else out of microencapsulation.
Okay.
And we work in US and in South America, Europe. And now we, I hope, later this year, we will start our second plant in the US.
At Vitagro, we are the gut health experts, developing advanced microencapsulation technologies that deliver nutrients exactly where they are needed. Our rumen-protected solutions allow amino acids, vitamins, and organic acids to bypass degradation and reach the intestine intact. The result is higher nutrient efficiency, improved metabolic health, greater peak milk, and stronger reproductive performance. Stop guessing. Start targeting nutrition with precision. Vitagro, gut health delivered where it matters. Learn more at vetagro.com.
Yeah, certainly nutritionists listening would be familiar with microencapsulation, maybe not everybody. Can you just give a brief explanation of what that means and what the purpose is?
Sure. The purpose is to protect and to transfer nutrients from one side to the other, in particular bypassing the rumen and delivering the nutrients in the intestine, if we're talking ruminants, of course. And the idea is to avoid the degradation in the rumen for those nutrients and make them bioavailable at a high dosage, at high level of concentration in the intestine. There are many different technologies, but the concept is always the same: to transfer and protect nutrients to make them more available for the cow and for the cow's metabolism.
Okay, great. Well, one of those nutrients that rumen bacteria would degrade if we just fed them directly to the cow is choline. And I think probably a lot of people in the dairy world have at least heard of choline, but maybe not everybody knows biochemically, like why do we talk about it? Can you give us a little primer on what choline is and why it might be important in the diet?
Choline, has been studied since many, many years, probably more than 40 years, and it's used from very long time in the dairy cow nutrition, and in particular in the transition period. Basically, choline is a methyl donor, and it's important in the transition cow because even in the transition cow, cows are under a very specific and very intense metabolic pressure. We know around calving, dry matter intake is limited. The demand of glucose, energy, amino acids, and methyl groups in particular increases very rapidly. At the same time, to get energy, the cow mobilizes adipose tissue, and the liver is flooded with non-esterified fatty acids that must either be oxidized for energy or packaged and exported as triglycerides through those transporters that are VLDL. And VLDL are based on choline, if we can say that. And the accumulation of fat in the liver creates big issues at hepatic level. And when the liver slows down, everything else feels it. Choline is not only about liver fat export. It also feeds into a broader metabolic network. It can be converted to betaine, which donates methyl groups and helps regenerate methionine from homocysteine. So choline connects directly with methionine metabolism, folates, vitamins, in particular B12, and with a methylation capacity and antioxidant defense. So it's very, very important for the dairy cow. And all these together, choline, methionine, betaine, folate, B vitamins, they work together like a team. This is why choline transition nutrition is not just a liver supplement with a single function of transporting transporting fat outside from the liver, but it's part of the cow's adaptation system during one of the most metabolically demanding phases of her life.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Maybe you touched on this a little bit, but can you clarify for me, like most people, if they're feeding choline, and quite a few, I think at least in the U.S., it's a pretty large share of farms would feed choline, but usually only in that transition period. So if it's really important, like what makes it so important to feed in that window more so than other windows. You kind of talked about it, but help us understand that a little better.
Yeah, we know, in particular, in the last years, we are discussing a lot about inflammation around calving. We have inflammation around calving. That's not an exception. We know that. It's part of a normal biology of a transition cow. Without inflammation, the calving couldn't be there. So the real question is not whether inflammation is present or not, but more how well the cow can handle it, solve it, or keep converting nutrients into milk without losing metabolic control due to high inflammation. The work started in Italy by Trevisi and Bertoni, two researchers of the university in Piacenza, helped establish that the transition period is not only negative energy balance problem. It's also a problem of inflammatory and hepatic adaptation. So around calving, cows experiences an acute phase response, oxidative pressure, immune activation, and changes in liver functionality. And to some degree, all of this, we said, is physiological. We should not say that inflammation is always pathological. The real issue here is how well the cow resolves it and at what metabolic cost. If we make an analogy, we can think of it like a city managing a crisis. The crisis will happen anyway. But what matters is whether the infrastructure holds, whether the response is coordinated, and whether normal life resumes quickly after being hit by the crisis, or whether the crisis transforms into something much harder to manage for a longer period. So to me, I think choline is not as a magic anti-inflammatory product, not only as fatty liver nutrient, but as a metabolic resilience tool. And Barry, you worked on immunometabolism and your work with LPS challenges show that rumen-protected choline, it's not to be interpreted as a classical anti-inflammatory drug, right? It does not switch off inflammation. So we should think at choline to, not as something that blocks inflammation, but as something that helps the cow manage its metabolic consequences. It's like an alarm going off in the building. We need the alarm because we need to be alarmed, there is a fire, but the problem is when the alarm keeps ringing long after the fire is out, draining the battery, disrupting work, and exhausting everybody in the building. So choline does not disconnect the alarm, but it may help the building recover faster once the emergency is over. So we can use this lens to interpret some results from a recent study we conducted, in particular with Trevisi and Piacenza, comparing two different rumen-protected choline sources. So both products, and here we go back about the differences of different rumen-protected choline, different technologies. Both products were fed in the transition period, 21 days before calving, 35 days after calving. Both products supplied 15 grams per day of choline chloride at intestinal level, at the mouth and then at the intestinal level. So the blood panel included markers of energy metabolism, liver function, inflammation, neutrophil activation, and oxidative stress. And three major signals stood out. The first was ceruloplasmin. Ceruloplasmin is a positive acute phase protein, one of the markers the body produces when it is managing an inflammatory challenge. It was lower in choline-supplemented cows around calving, and the reduction was statistically significant with the metrics type source and showed a tendency with the other. A lower ceruloplasmin suggests a less intense systemic acute phase response or at least a more controlled inflammatory profile. The second that we checked was myeloperoxidase. This is a marker of neutrophil activation, and we do not want to suppress the action of neutrophils, of course, because they are the cow's first responders, right? But like any emergency response, if it runs too long or too hard, it becomes costly. So excessive neutrophil activation is metabolically expensive and contributes to oxidative pressure. In this study, myeloperoxidase showed a treatment by time interaction, suggesting that choline influenced the pattern of innate immune activation around calving. It was not suppressing it, but modulating its response. And the first signal was oxidative status. So reactive oxygen metabolites were lower in choline-supplemented cows, particularly with the matrix type. Oxidative stress is one of the key bridges between inflammation, liver load, immune dysfunction, and metabolic disease. So reducing it is very important. If we take all these signals together, these results tell a consistent story. Choline did not remove the biological stress of calving, of course, but the cows appeared to produce under a more controlled inflammatory and oxidative environment. So it was like an insurance for the cow to solve easily the inflammation around calving.
That's impressive results. I need to look into that study more. That's interesting.
For more than 25 years, Agrarian Solutions has been guided by our RISE core values: relational, integrity, strategic, and excellence. Since 1996, we've been a global leader in proprietary bacteria technology, delivering research-backed microbial solutions that help livestock defend against environmental challenges like mycotoxins, supporting health, performance, and reproductive success. From science-driven innovation to trusted relationships, Agrarian Solutions exist to help others succeed. Learn more at agrariansolutions.com.
One thing I get asked quite a bit is, and maybe I'll frame it in terms of this, the metabolic resilience idea, which I like, but it's a little bit fuzzy, I think, for people. And so the question I often get is, okay, if I want to assess, if I'm working with 10 herds and I'm a consultant and I want to see, like, this herd doesn't seem to hit peak milk production very well, you know, is there a way I can actually try to quantify, you know, inflammation or metabolic resilience of this herd, or some kind of way of assessing, are these cows adapting well to the stressors around the start of lactation? I'm sure you get that question. How do you guide people through that?
Yeah, of course, in the field is totally different from an experimental station, right?
Yeah.
So we need to be very practical. If we check the milk production, this is something very easy. A healthy cow, a cow with a reduced amount of inflammation is a cow that is producing a lot of milk, in particular with the genetics we have today. So I would definitely look at the individual milk production in the first days of after calving, and that's the easiest thing we can see. Even before checking for beta hydroxybutyrate or ketosis or even fever in those animals. Of course, all these are elements that are very useful to monitor the herd, but concentrating on dry matter intake and milk production, I think, is the easiest way to assess if a cow is healthy or she has some questions. Of course, there are many other instruments, quite practical nowadays, like rumination or activity monitors that can, before we are aware of the real problem of the mastitis or another severe case of inflammation, they give us signals, but it's important to constantly monitor them. And probably in the field is much easier just to check at the individual milk production day by day or milking by milking to have an idea.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair.
And of course, we can have blood analysis and check for liver index and other monitors and signals, but this is a little bit more complicated. It's not immediate as signal. It would be nice to have a tag or something that show us immediately the enzymes in the blood or the acute phase proteins. Probably in the future we will have it, but at the moment it's not available.
All right. Well, as you know, there's a number of options out there for encapsulated or rumen protected choline now. Are they more or less interchangeable? How do you suggest people kind of think through their options in terms of encapsulated choline?
Again, I'm very practical. Use the product if you are satisfied with the results. The cows are the last answer that you can have, and the better answer you can have from the validity of the product. From the study we have conducted, we have seen that different technologies, different kinetics of release might have a different answers. So 15 grams on the paper maybe are not the same from a metabolic perspective, but at the end, cows are always telling you the truth. We can compare two products, and we may think of it like two delivery services, both carrying the same package to the same address. Both they deliver, but one arrives on time, intact and ready to use. The other gets there a little bit later, and when you open it, something has shifted in transit. Same declared service, different outcome at the door. And it depends also from the door or from the customer. So there are so many variables that can make the difference. Choline bioavailability works the same way. It is shaped by ruminal stability, intestinal release kinetics, absorption efficiency, and how much choline actually reaches the liver and peripheral tissues in a usable form. So don't concentrate only on price and concentration. Try to evaluate all the available data. And the point is that, unfortunately, we still do not have a standardized method to measure and compare the true bioavailability of rumen-protected choline products across different technologies, because they might be similar from an external point of view, but different technology has really a different kinetics of release. So the unavailability of a standardized method is a real gap in the field, and it makes a honest product comparison generally quite difficult. So I would say that until better methods are available, the most useful approach is to look at the full picture: production response, metabolic biomarkers, oxidative and inflammatory profile, and immune metabolic adaptation.
Okay, that's a fair answer. Very good. Well, I got to ask before we run out of time with you, you know, from your travels and you've been on dairies in, I don't know, probably over 100 countries or close to it. Are there one or two experiences that stick out in your mind, maybe a very unusual type of running a dairy or just a beautiful location, anything like that?
Well, beautiful locations, there are a lot. And unfortunately, nowadays, cows are more or less the same everywhere because the genetics is exactly the same. So that makes the travel a little bit less exciting than it should be. To think about something particular, I remember, I think it was in Malta, in the... to avoid mosquitoes, they have put in the watering system in the water tank for the cows, small fishes that they were eating the mosquito's larvae. And I was surprised because I've never seen that. But it's not a stupid idea. And cows will not eat the fish anyway. So that was really interesting.
It's time for our famous three.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Want a herd management software designed for you? BovaSync is helping herds by managing data faster and easier. Contact BovaSync today to learn more. Natural Biologics delivers cost-effective solutions to improve health and productivity, helping conquer the rumen health and immunity challenges your animals face. Accurately measure individual cow feed efficiency with the newest advancement from AffiMilk. Visit AffiMilk.com to learn more. That's AffiMilk.com. Evonik Animal Nutrition, sciencing the global food challenges. Cow Manager, ahead of the herd together. Safe, simple, stop lack. Contact AHV for comfortable dry cow care. Reduce dyscalcemia and simplify transition cow care with Cowbell Pro from Chemlock Nutrition. Feed formulation software is stuck in the past. Most tools haven't evolved beyond basic least cost optimization. A Diet Forge changes that. It's an AI-powered platform with nonlinear ingredient modeling for enzymes and additives, cost per gain and maximum profit optimization, and real-time collaboration like Google Docs for nutrition. Every recommendation is grounded in world-class research, built for modern nutritionists who need more than legacy desktop software can deliver. Work seamlessly with your team and optimize the way modern operations demand. Try DietForge.ai free today. Feed formulation, finally modernized.
Okay, well, we have our three famous questions to throw at you, so let's dig into these. First of all, do you have a favorite dairy-related book or resource?
Well, I don't have a really specific dairy-related book. For all the information, I think Journal of Dairy Science is, of course, the primary source. And now I think we all use artificial intelligence to look for specific topics. So more or less, it always get there.
Gotcha. Yep. Good. What about a favorite book or resource outside of agriculture?
Yeah. I like crime books and in particular, Sherlock Holmes' adventure from Conan Doyle, because being a nutritionist, when you're on the field, it's always like you are in front of a crime scene. If you have to solve a problem and nobody is giving you all the picture, you're trying to find information from the cows, from what you see, from walking the cows, less from the farm manager or the farm workers, because they are usually biased from some idea. So I like the idea of being like Sherlock Holmes, trying to put all the evidence together and think critically of what he's saying. So I like those kind of books, and I try to apply them in my work.
I like that. I have to ask, I admire how, you know, multilingual you are. But I would presume that if you're reading for fun, it's more relaxing to read in Italian. So do you read him in the native English or in translation?
Some, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Last question. In your opinion, what sets successful dairy professionals apart from those who are less successful?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would ask you, what do you mean by successful? Because if you are successful to stay on the market, I think you should be successful in keeping the ration cost as low as possible with having good results. Or you know, you can be successful in having a very good ration for the cow, respecting the cow physiology and making it the best quality milk you can. And sometimes those two things doesn't go together, don't match, because a very nice ration, probably it will cost a little bit more, and maybe the farmers are not very happy to it. So it's a difficult question to answer.
Okay, fair enough. Maybe striking that balance, right? We have to stay economically viable.
Sure. That's that would be
our obligations to the cow, right?
Yeah, of course, it's not easy all the time.
Well, Richard, thank you very much. I've enjoyed the conversation today.
Thank you, Barry.
So again, our guest today has been Dr. Richard Perrette, who works as a global technical innovation manager for ruminants for the company Vitagro. And this has been another episode of the Dairy Podcast Show brought to you by Wisenetics. If you're not already following the show, make sure you hit the button so you don't miss the next episode. And we will see you then.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.